Europe's newest political club held its inaugural meeting Thursday as leaders of 44 nations in the region gathered in Prague as the European Political Community, EPC. Now, the forum, which is the brainchild of Emmanuel Macron, is intended to promote greater coordination in response to Russia's war in the Ukraine. Critics fear it's too unwieldy with members as diverse as the EU, UK, Turkey, and countries like Azerbaijan and Armenia. Now, Stephen Beardsley is with Deutsche Welle in Berlin, and he's going to chat with us about this and other stuff. Good morning. Guten Tag, Stephen. Good to have you.
Hi, Clarence. Good day.
Okay, so tell us about Thursday's meeting and what came out of it.
Yeah, you know, Clarence, I'm sure you and your viewers are thinking that you definitely needed one more European political club to remember the name of,
yeah.
In addition to the European Union, the Eurozone, where they all use the same currency. That's not the same as the European Union. Then you have NATO, of course. Yeah, so I think a lot of heads are scratching about exactly what is this European political community. In its first inaugural meeting, we didn't have a whole lot of concrete results. That is, we didn't have any kind of statement, any kind of communique like we might expect from a big meeting like the G7 or G20. What we did have was a nice big photo of the heads of 43 nations across the European room, which, as you mentioned, includes Turkey. It includes Ukraine. Members who are nations that aren't a member of the EU or aren't even a member of NATO. We had a picture of them standing together. It would have been 44, but the Danish prime minister wasn't there for various reasons. So that is essentially what I think Macron wanted in the first place. He wanted this sort of show of solidarity, everyone standing on stage. And by virtue of being there, they sent a message that they were against the war with Russia's war with Ukraine, I should say. And there was an implicit message of support for Ukraine. Macron voiced that again later and said, look, this is exactly what we wanted to see. On the sidelines, we can say that there were actually some substantive discussions between nations. For one, if you look at Armenia and Azerbaijan, the leaders of both of those nations met on the sidelines with Macron. They have a border dispute, and they came out of that meeting with an agreement to have a peacekeeping deployment on that border for 2 months. So that is something. Also, if you've been following some tensions between the UK and France recently, in recent months, we saw that Liz Truss had a meeting with Macron on the sidelines of this this bigger EPC meeting. And she said, you know, I consider Macron a friend. And this shouldn't sound so revolutionary to hear someone say that about, you know, the leader of the UK say that about the leader of France. But Truss famously said months ago that the jury was still out whether Macron was friend or foe for the UK. So that was significant in that sense. She wants to send a more positive message. And as we know, Truss needing a bit more, she needs to be seen on the international stage a bit more. She needs a bit more support at home, I would say, given what's happened recently. With her domestic policies there, she's definitely lost some standing in the polls. Finally, I would say it's not all good what happens. We did see a flash of tensions. Turkey, the leader of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, making some not so veiled threats towards Greece in regards to their land dispute. He was using his last press conference to do that after the meeting. So it's not all good. And that points to sort of the disparate goals and aims of these countries. When you're talking about 44 different countries, they're all coming from different places and have different aims.
Yeah, quite a number of storylines in this. From the war in the Ukraine, of course, to the UK's return to European engagement. What sticks out for you?
Yeah, I think several of those things I just mentioned are the big ones, right? I think for smaller nations, this sticks out as much more of a forum that they can buy into and that they can accept. Because if you are a Balkan nation, you're not a member of the EU, you're not a member of NATO, you're definitely not using the euro, but you have aspirations, right? Mm. You want to be in these forums, you need the support of larger nations, then suddenly they have the ability to come and engage with these nations. So that's important. That sticks out for sure. And we did see, for example, on the sidelines, we saw the leaders of France and Germany, Emmanuel Macron, Olaf Scholz, meeting with the leaders of Kosovo and Serbia. Of course, tensions between those two nations. And if you're Serbian, you might not even see Kosovo as a nation. So a chance for some of these smaller nations to be in the presence of leadership that frankly matters when it comes to their perspectives for getting into these bigger communities. And then we also saw some stuff, you know, the main issues that were supposed to be debated here were about energy, security, and of course the war was in the background. We also saw some progress there. The EU and Norway agreeing to do everything possible to increase gas deliveries to EU, to increase gas production in Norway, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, it is a forum that is a bit clunky in some ways, but there is some momentum. If you're a smaller nation, there is something to look forward to.
So what kind of ambitions do you think we can expect from this European political community, the EPC, in the future?
Yeah, Clarence, that's the question. How often are you going to hear about the EPC? How often are your listeners going to really think, oh, yeah, the EPC is meeting. Something's going to come out of that. Who knows? We don't know, right? We don't know, for example, if it's even going to have its own budget. We don't know if it's going to clarify what its aims are, what the purpose of the whole thing is. It hasn't written it down, really. This has really sort of been the brainchild of Macron, and some fear that it's just a prestige product. You know, if you look at the big photo of 43 leaders, Macron is standing right at the middle, of course. This is his baby. And so this is something that he can point to. But again, when you're talking about an area that encompasses borders of to the northwest, Iceland, to the southeast, what, Cyprus, all sorts of different aims, then it's really hard to say what direction are they moving in. And of course, there are members who say, we just want to be careful that this doesn't try and overshadow the European Union or NATO, or that somehow this gets in the way of those organizations' aims, which are much more important, and where there is much more that binds the nations to each other. Now, I should mention here that the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, Ukraine also was invited, and Zelensky appeared via video. He said, look, I urge you to use this forum for our benefit. Use it to try and help bring this war to an end, to back Russia off from its aims. Use it for our benefit. But again, you have 44 nations with very disparate aims, and not all of them are necessarily as supportive of Ukraine, if even to any extent, really, or if they've made any political, really, sort of acknowledgments of what's going on there. So the question is it even going to be used for that? I would say probably not. It's really just a forum to bring all these nations together. And then what's going to happen on the sidelines is going to be more interesting. And that means it's beneficial for the smaller nations.
I think we're going to rest it there. Thank you, Stephen Beardsley. He's with Deutsche Welle in Berlin, and some views and news out of Europe, and of course, regularly so on a Friday as well. We chat with Brona Hammond, Director of Communications at the Western Cape Education Department, right after these.